All right, let me get you to turn to Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. I read an article a few weeks ago that's been on my mind. It was by Pastor Milton Howard, pastor's Kitchens Creek Baptist Church down in Ball, Louisiana. And it caused me to start thinking about this study for today. Now, today is the 4th of July. And you're going to see our flag flying everywhere you go today. And I hope as you see it flying, that this study we're going to do here this morning, you'll remember this. And you'll think of it as you go throughout the day and you behold the flag flying. Exodus 17, verse 15. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. This name of the Lord means the Lord our banner. A banner is a flag. A banner is an ensign. It's held up. It unites the people under that banner. It's the encouragement and direction of the soldiers in battle. It's the rallying point. It's the sign of victory. The flag, the banner. Christ Jesus is the believer's banner. The Lord, Jehovah, our banner. Let me show you that in some scripture. Look at Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10. Isaiah 11, verse 10. And in that day, this is talking about the day when our Lord has come and accomplished the work, that work he has accomplished when he came. He says, in that day there shall be a root of Jesse. That is a root of Jesse. It came from the tribe of Judah, from Jesse, from David. Through his lineage, Christ came. And it says, in that day there shall be a root of Jesse which shall stand for an ensign of the people. That word ensign is flag, banner. He's talking about Christ. And to it, to the banner, to Christ, shall the Gentiles seek. And his rest, the rest of our banner, Christ our rest, shall be glorious rest. Christ has been given for a banner for his people, for the purpose that God's elect scattered throughout the world, the four corners of the world, might be gathered unto him. Christ is our glorious rest. He's our banner. Look with me now over at Psalm chapter 60. Psalm chapter 60 and verse 4. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed the cause of the truth. Christ, our banner, was given by God the Father. He gave this banner. And it says, thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee. This banner is given to those who by the Spirit of God's grace are made to fear God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And then it says, God has given Christ to us as a banner to be displayed. It says, because of the truth. Because of the truth. If he's the ensign of the people, if it's to Christ that the Gentiles shall seek, then just as the Lord told Nicodemus, the Son of Man must be lifted up. He must be exalted. He must be lifted up in the heart that he's made new. He must be lifted up in the gospel that goes forth. He was lifted up on the cross. He's lifted up to the right hand of the Father. He must be lifted up in all our glorying before God. Christ must be lifted up. Now let's see in our text why it is a necessity, absolute necessity for the believer that the Lord our banner is exalted. Let's see why this is a necessity. Back in Exodus chapter 17, look at verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Now this word then is important. The rock had been smitten just prior to this. We looked at that study not too long ago. The smitten rock, that rock is Christ. The rock had been smitten, and the water flowed out of the rock. because of what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished, through the Spirit, through the work of the Holy Spirit, creating a sinner anew, believers are drawn to Christ and we take of the water of life freely. And then Amalek came. That's when Amalek came, was then. Now, the Amalekites were the descendants of Esau. That was Jacob's twin brother, Esau. Jacob was Israel. That's Israel that's mentioned here. And the Amalekites hated Israel because Israel was freely given the firstborn, the rights of the firstborn, and all the blessings of God were freely given to Israel. Now that's why those who are the enemies of Christ, those who are at enmity with God, this is why they hate the believer, because of what God has freely given us. Nobody hates the doctrine of election who is brought to behold that Christ truly elected a people. Because the person that's brought to behold it has been elected of God and chosen of God and drawn to God, and they rejoice in it because they know if He hadn't have chosen me, I'd have never chose Him. It's those who hate God's sovereignty. It's those who hate the fact that God does the choosing and wants man to be exalted that are the enemies. But these blessings are freely given. These blessings are freely given by God. Now Moses was told here by the Lord to write this for remembrance, to remind the children of Israel of it. You see there in verse 14? The Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Now, let me read you something out of Deuteronomy 25:17. The Lord said, remember what Amalek did unto thee, by the way. He gave this to Moses to write. This was the first thing Moses was told to write, to record. And he wrote this. And later Moses said, remember what Amalek did unto thee, by the way, when you were come forth out of Egypt, how he met thee, by the way, and smote the hindmost of thee. He came up from the rear of the camp of Israel, even all that were feeble behind thee. And when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. Now, the children of Israel had been quarreling with Moses. Remember that? They were chiding with Moses, and they were saying, Can God provide for us in this wilderness? They were murmuring against God, murmuring against Moses. And when all this turmoil and this quarreling amongst them was going on, they were distracted. And Amalek came up and took advantage. They were faint and feeble and weary, and Amalek took advantage. Look here with us. And look here in verse 9. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. The believers called unto a warfare. When we're called, then the warfare starts. You don't have a warfare now if you haven't been called of God. You don't know what it is to war against sin. You don't know what it is to war against the flesh. You don't know what it is to war against this world. The warfare begins when God calls His people into His light. The true Israel of God that's represented here is a type here of God's chosen people called out of darkness from the four corners of the earth into His marvelous light. And when they're called to fight this enemy. And look here with me now at this, what he says here. He says, verse 9, Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men, go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Now the rod of God represents our banner. This is a representation of our banner. Christ is the rod of God. He's our banner. That rod was the power and wisdom of God. Christ is the power and wisdom of God. Jehovah our banner. And He's all the believer's strength. Now as long as the believer is walking in the Spirit, beholding Christ the Lord, and has our affection and our attention set on Christ the Lord, Just as when Moses held up this banner, just like the flag is flying and the soldiers on the battlefield can look back and see that flag, as long as we behold Christ the banner, there's fresh courage, there's fresh encouragement to fight the battle. But when we're distracted by the world, by our entangling ourselves with the affairs of this world, by being overly concerned with pleasing men and pleasing in our business and our honors and all the things that we chase after in this world, it's just like when Moses let down that banner and they couldn't see the rod of the Lord, and Amalek prevailed. Amalek prevailed. When Christ is not exalted, the enemy prevails. Now, as believers, we must keep our full attention on our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's so easily to be turned from Him. So easy to be turned from Him. Let me get you to turn to 1 Peter 5:8. I told you there how they were quarreling and not submitting to God, not submitting to the one that He gave to have the rule over them, and not trusting the Lord. That's what was going on. They weren't trusting the Lord. Look at what Peter says here in 1 Peter 5:8. He says, he's speaking of being subject one to another, being clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and gives grace to the humble. He says in verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Now look at this. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Amalek was just looking for an opportunity to pounce. And they saw it. And he says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, believing on Christ, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, this God who's called us into His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish you, strengthen you, settle you. That's what we're about to see here. This is what Paul told the Galatians. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you be risen with Christ, he told the Colossians, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at God's right hand. Because he said, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. You get the picture here in our text of that banner being above, that banner being on top of the mountain. Paul told the Colossians, set your affection on things above, where Christ is, where Christ sits. And he says to the believer, for you're dead. You're dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. If you knew you were dead, let's just say you knew you were just about to die, and you knew where life was. Somebody, some doctor told you, now this is life. I guarantee you, nothing would keep you from getting to that cure, that antidote. Well, the Spirit of God tells us the believer's dead. And his life's not here. His life's not in this world. His life's hidden in Christ, in God, in Christ, at God's right hand. So set your affections there. Look there. What's our strength as we behold this banner? The person of our Lord. This is God with us. Did you notice in our text that Joshua was called upon to be the commander? Joshua is a type of Christ the Savior. And where did he go? He chose out some men. God chose some men and gave them to Christ. Christ is our Joshua. He's our Savior, the commander, the captain of our warfare. Where was Joshua with them? He was right there in the valley fighting with the men. Fighting with them. The Lord said, lo, I'll be with you always. Always. We rejoice in the efficacy of Christ's atonement. That means He really accomplished what He came to accomplish. He really accomplished the satisfaction for God's people. The satisfaction with God for His people. When He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He entered in the holiest of holies with His own blood and obtained eternal redemption. This is what we rejoice in, that He accomplished the salvation of His people. Our banner and the strength we get is from the sufficiency of His righteousness. Listen, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in Christ the Beloved. That's the believer's hope. That's our strength. I'm accepted with God. I really don't care if men accept me or not. I'm accepted with God. God's accepted me in Christ. He said, you're complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. You've been circumcised. That you were dead in your sins. You were dead in trespasses and in sins. And you've been circumcised by the circumcision made without hands. That is Christ being crucified. He put away our sin. And through the Spirit, He comes and creates us anew, circumcises us in the heart. We've been raised with Christ and seated at the right hand of God through the faith of the operation of God. And we reign with Him. That's our hope. And in the power of Christ's saving grace. He said there, after you suffer a while, He'll strengthen, He'll settle you, He'll establish you. This is what Paul told the Philippians. He said, we're confident of this. He that hath begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. These men out there on that battlefield were fighting Amalek, and they could see, they could be wounded or injured or weary, and they could look to that banner, and they were strengthened. I was reading a story about the revolution, and this lawyer was called on to go negotiate the release of a friend of his that had been captured by the British. And so he went, and he had to go meet the British fleet on the Chesapeake, and he had to negotiate this release, and he did. They agreed to release his friend, but the only way, the condition was, he had to stay with them, the British. This American did, stay with the British till they got down to Baltimore and attacked the fort at Baltimore. And so they got there, and they began to attack the fort there. And when they got there, this man could see a flag. He could see a banner on top of that fort flying. Because the major, Major Armistead, how do you pronounce that? Anyway, he had said, I want a flag so big that the British can see it from way off. And this flag was about 30 by 25, something like that. And this lawyer, this American lawyer on board that ship, could see that flag. He could see it. And these bombs were going off, and they were fighting, and it went all through the night. It went all through the night. And it looked bad. It looked bad because they had a lot of ships and a lot of bombs and a lot of cannons, and they were fighting. But when the first light began to come, he could still see that red and white and blue flag on top of the fort. And he just happened to be a part-time poet. And so he started scribbling down some lines. And one of the lines he wrote was, the bombs bursting in air gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. It was Francis Scott Key, and that's the Star-Spangled Banner as we know it today. Sometimes it takes bombs bursting in air for the believer, for God to manifest in our hearts, turn us to Christ, to behold that the Lord our banner, Jehovah Nissi, is still there. He's still there. And the consolation, the encouragement is, just like it put he was so excited and he wrote that poem and it caused him to be so, take such fresh courage. That's what this banner does. That's what the Lord our banner does. Well, let's look now at verse 12. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun, and Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Now we see our need of Christ in this. We see our desperate need of Christ in this. The battle is long, and we get weary in this battle, and our hands get weary. Just Moses is a man, and his hands got weary from holding up his hand. We just try to hold up our hands for any length of time, it gets where they feel like lead weights. Especially if you're holding up a banner, and he's holding it up, and you get weary. I get weary holding up this banner. The believers, the witnesses of Christ, get weary holding up this banner. How are we going to hold up this banner? How are we going to be strengthened and hold up this banner? Look there again. Aaron and Hur found a stone and they put it under him. And he sat on it. He sat there on that stone. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady. His hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And while that his hands were steady, Joshua went out and defeated Amalek and his people. You see the picture in that? You see the picture in this? We get tired and we get weary, but the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty. What does the Scripture say? They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Aaron was the high priest. And Hur means liberty. You got a picture here of Christ, our high priest, working through the Holy Spirit. And he comes and he sets us, he plants us firmly on the foundation stone of Christ Jesus the Lord. And Christ our high priest, who knows the feeling of our infirmities, who's been touched with the feeling of our infirmities, he strengthens us. He lifts up our hands steady. And Joshua, Christ our Lord, wins the battle. He wins the victory. He wins the battle. And as we're like those soldiers down there fighting, and we look up and we behold that Christ our banner, and we're steady. We're on the foundation. Our hands are steady. He does this work by His grace, through the Spirit, through this gospel. And these are all brethren one of another. Moses and Aaron and Hur and Joshua, they were men too. They were brethren. And God uses brethren to encourage one another, to speak this gospel of Christ. You notice he went out and he smote them with the sword. The sword is the gospel. The sword is the word of His grace. And this is the word wherewith we comfort one another and encourage one another. And it's Christ the Lord, through the Spirit, our great high priest, who strengthens us and causes us to look away from this world, from ourselves, from our flesh, from Satan and the devil. And he steadies us, he settles us, he establishes us on the rock. And that's how we win the victory. Now look here in verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. We need to hear this all the time. He says, they're going to need to be reminded of this all through this journey. They're going to be needed to be reminded of this thing. I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar, and he called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. For he said, the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Moses didn't build a memorial and say, now this is the memorial to the fighting men and women of Rephidim Valley, Joshua and his men. He made this banner and gave glory to where glory was due. He made this altar and gave glory to where glory was due. He said, he called it Jehovah Nissi. He knew where the victory came from. The Lord our banner. That's where the victory, that's how the victory was won. And our great God assures us. He speaks into the heart of His people. And Christ the Lord, speaks into the heart through the Spirit. And He says this. He says, Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He says to His messengers. He says to you, His witnesses. He says to us, comfort ye my people. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Tell her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, that the Lord has rewarded her double for all her sins. When did you ever get a reward for sin? Men are looking to be righteous and get some kind of reward for it. God says He rewarded His people for their sin. In the place of their sin, He rewarded them double. That means all me and you've got to glory in is the fact that we're sinners. We did the sinning. That's all we can say we took part in. He did the rewarding. He accomplished the warfare. He did the work. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. Now you're going to watch tonight as you go watch the fireworks or wherever, and you're probably going to hear the Star Spangled Banner, and you're probably going to stand and look at the flag, and as you're doing that, you notice all around you. Notice all around you that there'll be folks from all different backgrounds, folks from all different classes, folks from different races, different kindreds of people, but they're all united under that one banner. They're all united under that one banner. Well, Christ is the banner of the believer. And the Scripture says there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Christ is our banner. He's the banner of the church. He's the banner under which we fight. He's the banner by which we prevail. And He's the banner to which we rally. And in the end, when it's all said, when the battle's all over and the war's all done and we enter into victory with our Lord, you know what happens when the battle's won? You know what happens when the war's over? The victorious army plants their flag, and it symbolizes this is the victory. We won the victory. And Christ is that banner. We're going to praise Him for all eternity, saying, this is our banner. This is how the victory has been won for us. Amen.